Hey guys, me Sam Stein here with Sarah Longwell. So RFK Jr. was just confirmed. We're actually not going to talk necessarily about that. We're going to talk about the one Republican senator who voted against him, Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell voted against RFK Jr., put out a statement noting that he is a survivor of polio and that he believes that people who question the efficacy of vaccines do not deserve the public's trust, especially if they're going to lead the biggest public health institute in the country. Now, Mitch has become the only Republican to vote against multiple cabinet nominees. He's voted against Tulsi. He's voted against Pete Hegseth. He's now voted against RFK. Everyone else, except Hegseth had a couple others, but everyone else has gotten almost unanimous support except for Mitch McConnell. What do you make of it? He's obviously getting up there, but frankly, no one else has done what he's done for Senate Republicans.
Yeah, so I wanted to jump on and talk about Mitch McConnell because, we've been seeing some reports about McConnell and sort of how he is now. He's in a wheelchair. He is much diminished. He's had some falls. He's had some freezing episodes. And it's interesting because he's a long way from sort of the cocaine Mitch that at his height, right, was still in the early days of Trump. Mitch McConnell did not care for Trump, but he saw, I think, Trump as a short-term thing to navigate. And I've just been really, as he takes these votes and where he's the only one, like not Collins, not
I
Murkowski,
know.
not Tillis, not any of the people you think, Mitch McConnell alone is refusing to say yes to these. Now, does that make him a tragic figure or an ignominious figure, right? Is he worthy of our sort of is he dis is it a disgrace? Is he disgraced now? And so he just in his moment of disgrace, is he facing that by being the lone Republican vote? Or is it there's or is there a tragedy to the idea that Mitch McConnell simply failed? It was a failure of imagination, right? He was the person. There were seven Republican
Seven Republican
senators
senators, right.
in 2020 after January 6th who voted to convict.
2021,
Sorry,
2021, to be
2021.
clear,
Sorry, after the 2020 election, in 2021, after the January 6th attempts to overturn the election, Democrats, who at the time were the majority in the House, voted to impeach and you needed 17, I believe, total Republican. Like they needed
Yes, so the
more than they
situation is
had.
it's 50-50 Senate, and you need 67 for a conviction. So
Right.
if you get seven, you're still 10 short.
You're still 10 short. But here's those 10 were probably there. And the way that you would have gotten those 10 at the time is if Mitch McConnell had said, I'm whipping votes for this. Like, we're going to do this. We're all going to go down together. And Mitch McConnell gave a somewhat famous speech at the time in which he said that Trump was morally and temperamentally responsible for the events of the day, but that he thought the legal system was there to take care of Trump.
Boy, was he right.
And
They nailed that one, Mitch.
I guess, this is when Trump starts making racist attacks against Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, who resigned from the administration. She was a cabinet member. And so I guess I'm curious, Sam, because I've been sitting here thinking about this, ignominious or tragic, as a man who sat at a hinge point in history, made the wrong call, and now has his legacy torched. And is personally being humiliated on basically a daily basis, and is doing, to me, taking one flaccid protest vote after another, that is essentially meaningless because he let everybody off the hook for so long. But tell me how you think about it.
Oh, I don't know if there's a good answer to this. There is a tragic element to this if you look at it, but there's also a sort of a you made your bed element. I understand why people look at Mitch McConnell and say, too little, too late. This is your fault. You built this kind of Frankenstein's monster situation. And then I also understand people who look at what he's doing and say, at least someone, right? Because I think if we had truth serum, or if we just sort of were being honest about it, McConnell's vote, his votes probably represent where, what? a quarter to a third of the Republican Senate caucuses.
For sure.
Spiritually, right? Like if they had no, if they had any spine, if they had no concern about, you know, being primaried, I think it would be very fair to say that we'd have no Robert Kennedy at HHS, no Cash Patel potentially at FBI, right. Certainly no Hegseth. So it's to a degree, it's at least, you know, important to have one person make this case, this have the moral clarity to make this case. And if it has to be McConnell, so be it. Then again, you look at it and you say, this is your doing. If anyone is responsible for Trump, other than, you know, Trump himself and the voters who supported him, it's McConnell. I mean, it really is. He laid the groundwork for the Republican Party to embrace this. And at any point he could have, and he did have the power to, you know, push them towards an off-ramp, and he didn't take it because power was ultimately too alluring for him. And now, in a weird Shakespearean way, he's without power and he's frail and he's at the last chapter of his public career, at least. And he's casting these largely ineffectual but morally clarifying votes. And, you know, maybe it makes him feel good and maybe it makes him feel like he's made up for some past sins that he committed. But again, they are ineffectual, right? Like it's just a vote and we'll forget it and the damage is done.
Yeah, I guess I both want to recognize the tragedy of it right. all and sort of acknowledge that.
Well, I guess, hold on, let me ask you, how do you think he feels about it? Like, I don't want to play too much of like a psychoanalyst here, or put him on the couch, but like, do you think he looks at this and says, I need to repent? Or do you think he's just feeling liberated because he's no longer in leadership? Is it a mix of both? Is he angry because of Trump's attacks on Elaine Chao? Is he worried about his legacy?
I think, he is somebody who is humiliated, who is grappling with his life choices. I suspect at the what is, you know, he's 82, I believe, and starting to right. suffer real health challenges. And if I were him, I think, you know, looking at RFK, like looking at what he helped to unleash, and not helped like in the, oh, I was a Republican, you know, like at a at, again, I want to. He is a hinge point figure historically.
Right.
He did this in a way that he was uniquely suited to
right.
have taken us down a different path and chose not to. And so I think that he is doing this now, not as a liberated person. Again, I would refer to them as sort of flaccid attempts to say to just register. Probably a despair register. The idea that this is wrong, and he doesn't think it's the right way to go. But I here's the thing: I do not like, and I push back against myself all the time. One thing I try to remember, or a rule I try to live by, is it's never too late to do the right thing. And so when somebody does the right thing, I do not like to jump on them reflexively and say, yeah, but if you had done things this way right. or whatever, okay? Because I don't think that's helpful, and I don't think it's a good way to incentivize people to do the right thing.
Right.
However, in this case, I've been thinking about this today, in this particular case of Mitch McConnell, I do think he is ignominious. I do think that the disgrace that he feels is deserved. And not because he couldn't have seen this coming. I understand sort of not being able to see this coming, but you said something earlier that I think is at the heart of it, which is a lust for power. And I think that Mitch McConnell was well known for being a tremendous tactician, but he in his own way, in his own lust for power, did a lot to break down the norms of sort of civility of the body of the Senate, you know, not confirming Merrick Garland and doing some of the things. And look, the Republicans and the Democrats, I could point both ways, like Republicans will take you all the way back to Bork about how unfair that was. And, you know, you could litigate this thing. It gets very Israel-Palestine very fast. You're back into the early days of who did what when.
Sure.
But Mitch McConnell made a series of bad choices for power that he knew were wrong for the Republican Party, that he knew were wrong for the country. And I do think he's going to sort of live out the rest of his life looking at what he wrought and regretting it deeply. And I think he should regret it deeply.
And at the, I think there's the other irony here, which is, I don't know if this is true, but he's always described as an institutionalist. And I think a lot of people kind of found that to be ridiculous because they don't view him that way, his critics. But he viewed himself that way. And his institution that he cared about the most was Congress and the Senate. And he leaves, or will be leaving office, with the institution of Congress greatly diminished, right? Like, here we have a situation where Donald Trump has basically decided he doesn't really care what Congress does. And he's basically browbeat Congress to his submission, and he's going to take back like the ability of Congress to determine appropriations. And, you know, he's going to stuff these terribly unqualified nominees for federal agencies down the throat and say, hey, screw you. If you don't do it, I'm going to primary you, or I'm going to do this in a recess appointment. And so this whole idea of McConnell as an institutionalist, if that was his North Star, which I don't believe. I believe power was his North Star. But if you think of him as an institutionalist, he will have presided over the great diminishment of his institution. And I think that has to hang over his head a little bit, that he will leave, you know, office with the presidency never having been more powerful.
Yeah, I think that is true. But I guess I'm also, it's not that I'm going to resist giving him credit for being the lone Republican vote here, because once again, he's not using his power to whip any other votes or any his power, you know, and still because he has these like weird, quirky ways in which he cares about the institution, like he doesn't want to get Thune's way. And like, you know, and who knows what just like in just a general what his energy level is for a fight and, you know, whatever. But I do think from a historical perspective, I think a lot about what it took for us to get here with Trump. And I think if you went to Mitch McConnell before he decided to vote on impeachment and you showed him the future and you said, even Lisa Susan Murkowski. Collins and Lisa Murkowski are going to vote to
confirm
add RFK to the cabinet. And if you don't vote for impeachment, like
he'd be like, the fuck? RFK?
Like, he's like, I just went through a whole term of this. How could we be? I'd like, you're insane. No, you're crazy. This will never happen.
This is some AI simulation. What are you talking about?
That's right. I think that if you could show Mitch McConnell where we are right now, like the ghost of Christmas past or whatever goes and visits him and says, or
if you it would be the ghost of Christmas future.
It would have been the ghost of Christmas future, but back then. Yes. Right. Yes. And so if that had happened, I think he would have 100% been like, all right, guys, we're all doing this together. We're going to impeach this guy and he's never going to be able to do this again.
No way. Yeah. And, of course he'd have thought it insane to think of this. And it was insane. Six months ago, this was totally insane.
Like, and this is why I won't let him off the hook. I won't let him off the hook because he should. The guy just tried to overthrow the government. And the response was, I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to do nothing about it. And so I think
ultimately that's it. Right. This just comes down to January 6th. It's like some horrible, horrible trauma happened to our body politic. Nothing like we've seen before. And everyone knew it was bad. And the guy who is a Machiavellian, obsessed with power, decided in that moment he was not going to use his power.
That's right.
And that was that.
And that was that.
And that's why we're here.
And that's why we're here. Nobody, we can get mad. And I think there is right now, I also want to be careful of like, I'm very, a lot of us have a place we're looking to put sort of our anger at what is currently happening. And I hesitate because I think, you know, there's a lot of places you could put it that are unfair or where you would be dramatically overstating what they could have done about it.
Right.
That's not true of Mitch McConnell. It's not true.
Right. Like,
I have more Merrick Garland. That was a really those were some pretty tough calls. I get very frustrated that they move so slowly. I think they should have proceeded on the January 6th case and the documents case, you know, like much. But like, I can understand why as an institution, you go from the bottom up on prosecuting the January 6th. You know, I can understand in a way that Mitch McConnell's failure was so clear and so wrong, and it is his fault. Like putting the anger on Mitch McConnell and is fair.
I think it's totally fair. And even if he couldn't have whipped 10 extra votes, there is sort of a question of more of personal character to not have tried, right? Yeah. Like he should have tried. And I think if you're right that the ghost of Christmas future came to him in that moment, he would have gone back and said, "Yeah, you know, I don't want this future, and I don't think this is the right future. And frankly, I was wrong to assume that the justice system would have taken care of this guy. Anyways, we'll see. We still have the Cash Patel full Senate vote next week or maybe this weekend. I don't know. I assume he'll get through. We're in a weird place. It is what it is. I will say Mitch is an interesting, at least with McConnell, there's a interesting debate around what he's thinking. With some of these other senators, it's very clear that they're just protecting themselves. So,
you know, and we talked about this a little bit on The Next Level, but just for people who haven't gone through the whole show to get to the end, I would like to restate for this. The fact that Murkowski and Collins, like, it actually shouldn't be that hard to muster 4 Republican votes against these guys. But the fact that Murkowski and Collins and Tillis, Cassidy, some of these others are all confirming people who are, by any objective measure, totally unqualified, if not outright dangerous. I would like to say, like, moderate Republicans aren't good for anything anymore. Like, I used to be a big defender of them. And I want to say, because I thought it's important to have those people represented. Not anymore. We should absolutely defeat Susan Collins. Like, Susan Collins, she needs to lose her next Senate race. She'll be tough to beat, but we should try.
With the RFK one especially, we don't have to go much further than this, but in that case, it's not that it was, you know, you can make the case that it's not even like, he's not a Republican nominee, right? Like, you can oppose him on grounds that he has a lengthy history of advocating for abortion rights, that he's a crank and a conspiracist, that, you know, all this stuff that he wants to do with health, which I personally support, but it wasn't so long ago that Republicans said, why is the government telling us what we can and cannot feed our kids, right? Like, there are ideological ways to oppose him and maintain your conservative credentials. All the conservative press outlets were opposed to the guy. And yet, you know, like you said, the so-called moderate bloc in the Senate of Republicans just did not show at all.
And so, difference then? Like, if you're not going to use your sort of maverick card on Cash Patel or on Tulsi Gabbard or on RFK, then, like, what's the point of having you there? If your limiting principle doesn't, like, stop you at those, like, then who cares?
Yeah, like, if you're just going to stand up for a few EPA grants in your state, like, you're kind of missing the boat here. I think
that's right.
The high stakes are the more important. All right, Sarah, thanks so much. Really appreciate you doing this. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank
As
you,
always,
Sam.
Subscribe. We got to get that pizza. Take care.
Bye-bye.